and welcome to J Times, where we uncover the Kabbalah take on Jewish issues and current events. With me, as always, is Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello.
This is the second Passover show that we're having, and we had a very interesting conversation in the previous show about the meaning of Pharaoh and Moses within us. Another very important concept of the Passover is chirut, freedom. And you wrote something in your blog that I want to relate to. I want to read it to you, and then I want to ask a few questions about what you wrote in the blog. Redemption symbolizes the fact that I was given a chance, a system, a method that enables me to correct the evil in me and turn it into good. Good means mutual guarantee, love of friends, in which I discover the force that enables me to fulfill the attitude, to fulfill this attitude and adhere to the Creator. After all, He, the Creator, is the goal I yearned for from the start. When I read this, it brought up several questions in me. First of all, why does good mean mutual guarantee?
First of all, from the sources. For sure, you know, it says so. The Jews have what to rely on.
It says that mutual guarantee is very important to the Jews. It's the salvation of the Jews. But why is it the essence of good? Or is it?
We live in two worlds. The world that we see now, a kind of a small sphere, in which we live, we feel our whole universe and everything, and besides that, there's a larger sphere. It's a spiritual world, a higher world. It actually forms our entire world and controls it. How can we feel these forces that are affecting us, influencing us? There are different things that happen to us, and they control me from within, and thought and feeling and desire, and I don't know what's going to happen in a moment, and in a few years, and after death, all these things. What is this? If I want to discover all these things, I have to rise to a higher sphere, the sphere of forces. And there, if we rise there, we can start revealing them. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about, how to reveal the operating force, the force that operates on the whole of reality. You can understand it, get to know it, on condition that we are united, connected, because through the connection between us, like in crowdsourcing that is revealing now, through the connection between us, we're producing not simply the sum of the integral force between us, but there we form a kind of an additional force that isn't simply the sum of our forces, but because each of us, in order to unite with others, went against his ego, we create a new essence there, the force of mutual bestowal, collective love, and that kind of form of unity between us is called the mutual guarantee. In that force, or by that force, we strengthen each other, keep each other, for no one to fall from being together with the others. And if we discover this force between us, this desire, then we start discovering in it, inside it, the higher force, the Creator. And then we have no problem because we're together with Him. This is what it tells us about in the Torah and the story of how do you discover that force. And it's our forefathers who discovered it and how we can also discover it. Actually, our whole history is targeted at that, the entire process that we're going through. And today, too, where the whole world is pushing us, pressuring us, closing down on us, and around us, it's becoming, there's more and more pressure from all sides, and we start seeing how the evil forces are uniting and are targeted at us, and we have no choice. We must understand what's the direction, what's happening, what's going on, and better to do it now. And when we see all these things, when we discover these forces, we also know how to find the solution. And the solution is simple: unity. So the mutual guarantee, this is the key to our whole good, safe life.
Okay. Well, when you say chibur in Hebrew, it can translate into many different words, such as bonding, such as unity, such as connection. What do you mean by this word?
Connection, communication, it's kind of a, it's much more than that. Unity or connection, it's when all of us unite into one center, not you and him and him and so on, but we have a central point that all of us have to come to in an equal unity between us, where all are equal, all are brothers, or all belong to one nation. And in this equality, and by the force of the mutual unity, where each one strengthens the other and is responsible for them, where everything that I do is only to make sure that everyone's united, then this way we create a special platform, which is the reciprocal force. There's no me. I came out of myself into this mutual field, and you came out into the same place.
What is this common ground?
This is called our mutual force, belonging to no one.
Yes, but what is it?
It's called the Shekhinah, divinity, godliness, the place where the Creator is revealed.
That's a big word.
No, it's not a big word. It's when each yearns to care for others and come out a bit of himself and be connected to others, then by that we form a kind of a reality that it's felt that it's outside of each one of us, between us. And that reality is called the infrastructure for the revelation of the Creator. And in it we discover the higher force, His plan, what will we have tomorrow and the next day until the end of time altogether, and what's happening, and how can we safely progress throughout life today, tomorrow, and for generations ahead. We discover everything above time. And all that is possible only through connection between us. Besides that, in the connection between us, we start pulling on ourselves all of the nations of the world, because they start feeling that it saves them from all problems and troubles. Suddenly, they start changing their attitude toward us, that just like they thought that we're using our brains and our special unique attitude toward life in order to harm them, as if, and so they're blaming us for all the evil in the world. Suddenly they start saying that, no, the Jews are now working for the good. They're not doing things in order to do bad, but by uniting, they're pulling us and creating a place for all of us to unite, and in that unity we'll discover the meaning of life.
I have to tell you that I heard more than one opinion of, let's say, learned individuals who believe that unity of Jews scares non-Jews. They become suspicious. It increases their hatred of Jews.
If the Jews work as egoists in order to use the world, but if they work as altruists in order to unite in a mutual love and to be ready to accept the whole world into it, then there's no problem. But on the contrary, everyone will come happily, unite with you open-heartedly.
Okay.
We discover this in the framework of our organization that is working among millions in the world, and this is how it is.
Let's assume that Jews united and that they're doing it in order to help the world, okay? How will the nations sense that this Jewish unity is different from all other Jewish unities of the past, and now They want our favor. They want now it's good.
First of all, we publicize our materials in all languages, in dozens of languages. We have written materials and on the internet and for all countries, in all languages, really, for all nations, for all people, on the one hand. And on the other hand, this force that we're creating between us as the force of unity, connection, it works from within because we're all interconnected. Scientists discovered this as well, that we're interconnected. Also, our crisis is an integral and global crisis. It's no wonder that humanity is discovering today that we're interconnected. So, in that connection that exists between everyone, they start feeling and understanding that there's something else here. This is how we feel it. As a result of operating this way, we see that this is how it works. No one goes against us, wanting to break us or accuse us that we're cooking something evil. We're open for the whole world. You can watch us on the internet, on television. Everything's open. Everything's free. And besides, among us, there are plenty from the nations of the world.
Interesting.
And it's all on condition that to begin with, you decide that your destiny, your goal is to transcend the ego and connect with everyone. No problem. The nations of the world understand this. And it takes time, of course, to grasp these things, this idea, to agree with it, to look at the Jews differently. In a different point of view, it's a great revolution for someone who's not Jewish. I understand this. I grew up among non-Jews. I know these people, and I also understand them. Were I in their place? But this is how it is. And it happens amazingly and very quickly. The moment we start uniting between us in order to create a good, nice, reciprocal connection and mutual guarantee in order to give the whole world a platform to unite around it and to discover the higher force and be saved from all problems and calamities, they feel from within that it's true and correct.
That reminds me. I have here two quotes from great Kabbalists. One of them is, Yitzhak Isaac Chover. Wildman, you're right. In his book, Beit Olamim, he wrote, this was Moses' prayer and blessing to the generation of the desert, that they would be the beginning of the correction of the world. So that struck me as interesting because he's...
Exactly.
Right,
yes,
he wasn't talking about
we are a very tiny part of reality. How many are we? 0.
How
many percent of the population of the world?
I don't know.
I think 0.1%.
Very small fraction. Okay.
But you see, we're like a thorn in the body of the world because we are a very unique group. Our uniqueness, both the unity and the uniqueness. In the past, we had unity. Now we have only uniqueness left and not so good and pleasant uniqueness. We have a special message from within. We have a special program that we must carry out, and all that we have to carry out is in order to bring the whole world to that same correction. Because all in all, this was the purpose of Abraham in Babylon, to publicize this understanding to all Babylonians, and only who joined him, he took them and made his group that he called Israel, Yashar Kel, straight toward the Creator. But he actually wanted to connect all the Babylonians, which is today's civilization.
Yes, by the way, I read in your book, Self-Interest versus Altruism, a very very nice and detailed explanation about Abraham's move from Babylon to Israel and how he developed the Israeli people and how he wanted to correct everyone and he struggled with King Nimrod. It's very interesting there.
We have proof from many other sources.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed it. Another quote, this one is by Ramchal, the great Kabbalist. He's even more detailed. He says this: Moses wanted to complete the correction of the world at that time in Egypt.
Right, the whole world.
Yes.
The truth is that he wanted to correct everyone.
Right. And he says this is why he took the mixed multitude, the Erev Rav, because he thought that by that would be the correction of the nations. That would be at the end of correction. However, it didn't work out because of corruptions that, or malfunctions or whatever, that happened along the way.
Yeah, and therefore, till this day, we're in exile from spirituality, from the revelation of the Creator. The revelation of the Creator is called redemption. The difference between exile and redemption is the letter Aleph, which symbolizes the Creator himself, that the Creator is revealed. Meaning that we feel this force operating, we understand him, and we live together with that program, that plan, and we see what is happening today, tomorrow, and in the future. That's called the Creator, and then we're above the feeling of life and time, because we feel our life only according to our body. And by the revelation of this general program, we start feeling ourselves as man, higher than the level of the living, of the bodily level. And this is what everyone has to come to. And really, Moses, he wanted to performed this great correction, and to this day we're still preparing ourselves toward the correction. But now, with the general crisis around the world and everything that's going on, it's not going to end. It's all the time increasing, and we'll keep on doing this in a very special way, that around us there will be pressure again, and this will necessitate us to realize Moses' plan for the whole world.
But when I read this, I thought, if this is the case, if Moses wanted to correct the whole world, why did he go out of Egypt? Why didn't he stay in Egypt and make the correction there?
It symbolizes wanting to come out of the ego. First of all, if I'm in the ego, I have to let it go, get out of it, to be this way that I work completely out of love and bestowal, free of my ego, taking the other force. In the world, there are two forces, the force of reception and the force of bestowal. The force of bestowal is under the control of the force of reception, which is called the Egyptian exile. When the force of bestowal comes out of the exile and disconnects from it, it's called the people of Israel come out of Egypt and exist per se. When it exists per se, they exist per se, starting to connect with the Creator, it's called the state of Mount Sinai. After that, we can take parts of Egypt and gradually to connect them, and this is what we wanted to do. He also connected to himself the mixed multitude, and to this day, we're in a struggle.
I see. Is this in any way parallel to what's happening today, where you have Jews concentrated in one space? Are they supposed to do the same thing that the people of Israel did with Moses and then pass it on to the rest of the world? Is it the same in any way?
Jews.
No, the Jews in Israel. Are they supposed to do what the Jews did with Moses?
Yes. Jews and all the Kabbalists, the recent Kabbalists of the 20th century, they read about this, that we have received permission to come back to the land of Israel only on condition to have a country here like any other people and live like we do today, but only for the purpose of unity. If on this opportunity that still exists, we will realize the connection, will set an example for all Jews around the world and for the nations of the world, how to create a connection and get out of all these problems and life that is becoming worse from one day to the next. How can we transcend to the degree of godliness, reveal an open, whole, and perfect life? But that's on condition that people here in the land of Israel will start now realizing the unity between them, where then that unity, the higher force, will reveal itself and the whole world will start coming closer to it.
One of the main arguments against the Jewishness of the state of Israel is that defining Israel as a Jewish state, by definition, is undemocratic.
We're not a country. We're not a nation. Because it's a, we just call ourselves that way. It is a group of people that were given the opportunity to unite. That's it. If we'll realize it, we'll succeed. If we don't, we won't. I'm not looking at the borders of the country and whether it's a nation. I don't look at anything besides this ability that we were given. And therefore, anti-democratic, democratic, it's all...
No, but they're saying, because they're saying that, that, you know, this is a Jewish state.
If I'm open for everyone, if I'm open, after I unite, don't stand in my way to unite. On the contrary, pressure me to unite. And thank God,
you're talking about the nations pressuring Israel.
We receive great help from all the nations of the world and our neighbors. We feel great help through the pressure being put on us. We also have to understand, why is this pressure coming in order for us to unite? Just let us unite. I'm turning to you like to the external world. Help us unite. Pressure on, put pressure on us like Pharaoh. Put pressure, but in the direction of unity. Make us unite, and then you'll feel what a present we can give the whole world. And plenty of people wrote about it. The great anti-Semites did too. We talked about Henry Ford and others.
Not only that, there are a lot of Jews who actually say that anti-Semitism is not so bad, really, because without anti-Semitism, we wouldn't be Jewish at all. So anti-Semitism, yes, there's a, you know, it's legitimate.
True.
It's good.
But that's not what we need. We have to take ourselves into our hands, and instead of being pushed, we have to reach unity between us. Anti-Semitism closing down on us, it's like, you know, like closing rocks or nuts in a sack that they don't connect. It's the sack that closes them together. It's the external hatred. The question is, how do we reach inner unity and create a place for the revelation of the Creator?
So what happens when all those nuts come together inside?
Then they will come out one place. The ego also on the inside, and connection and love. Love covers all crimes. These two forces, they give us a place where the higher force can reveal.
What happens if instead of the outside pressure, we will unite from within?
We make place for the higher force to reveal in us in our world by doing so. That's all you need, and that's called redemption. Redemption is the letter Aleph instead of the Galut, which is the symbol that the Creator is revealed among us. That will be the salvation, not simply a salvation that we came from different countries and landed here in Israel. There's no redemption about it. It's the collection of the diaspora. That's all there is. So let's better think about the corrected state that I really hope that is awaiting us.
Yes,
and we will reach freedom.
I was trying to decide how to summarize this this talk, and let me do it this way. We
to unite around the Passover table for this holiday to really symbolize unity for us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you for being with us. I hope you had a great show. And we'll see you on our next show. And preparing for our next holiday, the next step in the advancement of the Jewish people toward unity and toward spirituality. Until then, all the best and bye.